to sing my great Redeemer's praise, my great Redeemer's praise.
Hello, dear friend. This is Whitney Doe inviting you to listen to Methodist Hour. We will hear the music of contemporary praise and a timely message from the Bible by John Wolfe. Stay with us and enjoy the next 14 minutes, won't you? Methodist Hour encourages evangelical Christianity as we reach around the world. On the cross, Jesus sacrificed himself to redeem us from sin. Oh, how he loves you and me. Sing along with this beautiful song. Today's message is entitled, An Answer to Prayer. Here is Methodist Hour President, the Reverend John Wolfe.
Thank you so much, Brother Witt. The gospel lesson is Luke chapter 22, verses 39 through 46. Jesus came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. When he reached the place, he said to them, Pray that you may not come to the end of this time of trial. Then he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed. He prayed, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will be done, but yours. Then an angel from heaven appeared to him and gave him strength. In his anguish he prayed more earnestly, and sweat became like great drops of blood falling down on the ground. When he got up from prayer, he came to the disciples, and he found them sleeping because of grief. And he said to them, Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray. Pray that you may not come into the time of trial. Amen. You know, nearly one-third of all of the gospel material in this lesson is devoted to the last week of Jesus' earthly life. Of course, it's impossible to try to condense it, all of these events in the last 7 days, to one sermon or even to one conversation. At the beginning of this holiest of all weeks, we generally think of Jesus coming triumphantly into Jerusalem, you know, riding on a donkey and everyone placing palm branches on the ground. And I'm sure you remember that story. But I'm not sure why, but Luke doesn't even include that in these events of his gospel. Now, Luke says it in a little different way, but his focus in this holy time, this Passion Week, is so much for him about the humanity of Jesus. You see, Jesus has just come from the upper room where he instituted the Last Supper and confirms that one of his disciples would be the one who would betray him. By now, the stress level is so high for Jesus. You can just feel his heart kind of just bursting inside of him. You remember one of his closest friends would turn him in to be tortured and crucified, and his star disciple, the Apostle Peter, would deny him in the most crucial period of his life. And finally, Jesus had to deal with knowing that in a matter of hours he would be put to death in a very inhumane way. I hope you've seen the movie The Passion of Christ. It's unbelievable. But it talks about this so much. You see, Jesus' death would not only be excruciatingly painful, but it also would be publicly and personally disgraceful. You remember that excruciating is a word that the Romans found. It means from the cross. The pain is so incredible. Now, in this lesson, what I'm asking you to think about is what Jesus did in response to all that was happening to him. Just think for a moment. For him, his world was falling apart. Have you ever had an experience like that? Well, I'm sure you have, or you know someone who has. But Luke is so careful, I think, to tell us what Jesus did is what he always did, no matter what the circumstances were. You remember the words. Remember now, it's Luke 22, verses 39 to 46. He said, Jesus came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives to pray. He went there to pray. Luke does not say which disciples or if it was all of the disciples, only that they followed him. Now, we think it's probably all of them, but we don't know. But when he got to his place of prayer, he went off by himself. I love that. He said he went off at a stone's throw. Now, we do not know from Luke just how long Jesus prayed, only that the prayer was intense. Notice how Luke describes Jesus' prayer. He said, I think this is important, first, he knelt down. He didn't fall on his knees in a state of panic or desperation. Luke says he knelt down. He knelt down as though it was part of the way he always did when he went there to pray. His kneeling was a sign of humility. It was a witness to a kind of comfortable reverence for God. And also, I think, a sign that Jesus complete confidence in the assurance that God was with him. His prayer was intense, and it was so intense it was a matter of life and death. And I think Luke wants us to clearly see the human side of Jesus. Jesus prayed, he said, Father, if you are willing, please remove this cup. Another way to think about this is that Jesus knew what was at stake, and he also knew that he had a choice in the matter. It would be his choice to follow. He was not being forced to do it. He was pleading with God for this most significant issue for the sake of humankind. I can't even imagine how powerful that must have been. But I want you to think of the magnitude of what was going on here. Just think, Jesus could wrestle and plead with God over such a huge matter. You know, if he could do that, think how much more accessible he is for you and me. Now, I hope you'll understand here one very important matter. Jesus is consistent in his prayer. He always went there. It was his custom. And I think that says to us that being consistent in our prayer life, keeping our prayer time as a matter of what we do, prepares us for those times when life is in a crisis. Now, I hope you'll follow what I'm saying here. See, any time you pray is a good time. And just because you haven't had a regular prayer life does not mean that your prayers are of less value or you're less likely to be heard. But you see, it does mean that when it is a regular custom, when it becomes a habit, you see, you will find strength and assurance that each of us needs much easier. It's a natural thing. Now, there's something else here I hope you'll consider. Notice what happened when Jesus went to his disciples who went with him. Remember, he had been praying so hard that his sweat was like drops of blood. I mean, he was exhausted when he finished. And he went over to his friends, and they were asleep. And he said, why are you sleeping? But I love what Luke said. Luke said that they were sleeping because of their grief. They weren't lazy or not paying attention. They were just so grief-stricken. These disciples were afraid. They were sad. They had just learned that the one of them was going to betray Jesus, and they did not know who it was. And I suspect Peter, who fiercely denied any possibility that he would betray Jesus, already knew that he was waffling on his words. There was a kind of deep anguish inside their souls. And I want you to think of a time when you grieved in your souls. I'm sure you've been there. Remember a time when you felt as though your world was falling apart? A time when you just wanted to lie down in your bed and cry and go to sleep? Something like going away and when you wake up, it'll be gone? You know, I remember my grandmother, Lena. She was my dad's mom. And She had been admitted to a mental hospital back in the 40s. And I don't know all of the circumstances. It was sort of before my time, but she was always kind to me, and I never thought of her as having something wrong with her. I recall stories of her, you know, family stories about her wandering off and not being able to find her way home. Probably today we'd say that she had Alzheimer's. But anyway, we just didn't know it back then. But I do remember that when we went to visit her, she was often sad, and she would lie on her bed in a fetal position, curled up kind of like a baby does. She would be on her side, and often I'd see her just staring out of the window. But her conversation was always clear, and she would always have some peppermint candy for my brother and me. They were those soft mint candies. They were the peppermint. They came in pink and white. I can still smell them right now. Well, my grandfather divorced Grandmother Lena and married Ada. I was too young. Actually, I wasn't even born when they divorced, but as far as I know, no one has ever told me what the circumstances were, and I'm not sure we ever did know. But today, when I think back on her and seeing her in that hospital, I'm sure that she was grieving very deeply. And whatever was going on with her emotionally, deep inside, her grief was so deep that she often went to sleep with tears in her eyes. I think that this is the kind of grief that those disciples were feeling when they went to sleep while Jesus was praying. In times past, I've thought of those disciples as not being able to stay awake because they didn't understand what was going on. But you know what? I really think they did know. I think maybe they didn't know exactly what was going on, but they knew that the emotions of the circumstances were so heavy. They knew that Jesus was being tracked down by the priest, and they knew what could happen to him and to themselves. Jesus had every right to be angry with them for sleeping, but you see, he understood their grief. He understood the power of grief, even how the strongest and most faithful person can be paralyzed by grief. You know, even as I prepare this message for you, I'm thinking of scores of persons I know personally who are facing extremely difficult life situations, some that are just tear your heart out. Some of the circumstances seem so hopeless, and yet I see them often file in on Sunday morning or Sunday night when we gather to pray. I hear them ask others to keep them in their prayers. And among many of these, there is a wonderful sense of confidence and a strength. You know, maybe they've been visited by an angel. And sometimes that angel is persons like you. Well, I wish I could have taught Grandmother Lena about this lesson. I could have told her that Jesus not only understood her grief, but also bore her grief, carried her grief, even when she felt like nothing could help. She could have prayed and found strength to go on. What a great word for us today. Lord, we give you thanks for being always with us. In the name of Christ, amen.
John Wolfe, I know you've got another message. Share your word with us now.
Thank you very much. You know, in my devotional reading this week, I read a line from a famous theologian named Soren Kierkegaard. He said, "Many of us are admirers of Jesus, but not many of us are ready to follow him." Wow, that really spoke to me. You see, because in my ministry, I spend a lot of time reading the scriptures and teaching what they mean. We all spend a lot of time talking about what we should believe, but not as much conversation about what we should do. I think the question really is, how does what we say we believe play out in our lives? This Easter season, I invite you to join me in expressing our deepest, deepest gratitude for the sacrifice that Jesus made for us all. But also to check deep inside ourselves, to look inside where we live, to see if we're living out not just what he did, but what he said for us to do. Remember, he said to love God with everything you have and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's so critical. Now, the world surely needs to know Jesus. But you see, the best way to let the world know him is to live the way he taught us to live. Isn't that the truth? Your Methodist Hour team, with your help, will keep teaching. But it takes all of us to live what we teach. Please support us in any way you can. Our website is MethodistHourInternational.com, MethodistHourInternational.com, or just call me, 678-488-2162. You can text to that number too, 678-488-2162, or email me, johnwolfe@me.com. That's Wolf with an E, johnwolfe@me, like you and me, johnwolfe@me.com. And right now, I pray God's grace pours out all over you during this season. Amen.
And now until next week, this is your producer and host, Whitney Doe, praying, that the good news will always be yours. And may the Lord bless you and keep you.